Morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here with us this morning. We are here to study the Word, to praise God this morning, and to tell the wonderful story of Jesus. Will you all please stand as we worship this morning? God, I thank you and praise you that you've given each one of us a story of your love, how you have come into our lives, how you have saved us, and how you walk with us every single day, God. You never leave us and you never forsake us. And God, I thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, as we lift up your holy name and praise you this morning in our worship, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be here upon each one of us, that we bring glory and honor to you, Lord. And I pray for the message that Roy has for us today, God, that you speak powerfully through him, through the anointing and power of your Holy Spirit, with the message that you've given to him for us today, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Dead of night, and you tell me
That's okay.
King of Kings. Thank you, Pastor Larry. It is a privilege and an honor to be here with you today. Like I said, it is great to be here with you today as we praise and worship our Heavenly Father through song, but also through the study of His Word. And I know it's already been done, but I want to give a shout out to the mission team this morning for all the great work that y'all accomplished at Alban Community Church last week. And since both Pastor Larry and Pastor Rich were down there working away hard, I know they were, I'm honored to fill this pulpit and stand behind this sacred desk this morning. I know Pastor Larry gave a brief introduction of me, and believe it or not, I was actually here behind this pulpit 2018-2019, giving a disaster relief message when I was the association coordinator. But because it's been a long time, let me give you just a quick introduction. Like Pastor Lurie said, I am the state director for West Virginia Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. I am also the WVCSB Compassion Ministry Catalyst. That means I encourage and I help churches and congregations and associations start compassion ministry projects. We do things like the Day of Service, which is next Saturday down in Bluefield, where we're going to go in and we're going to serve and love on a community and share Christ with them. Back in 2016, my lovely bride, now all good men have wives by the name of
Donna.
My bride Donna, and I, we moved here in 2016 after I retired from the Pinell County Sheriff's Office out in Arizona for working with them for just a shade over 20 years. But I do have a few disclaimers. First, I am not an ordained pastor. I do not play one on TV, and I did not stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. However, I am a student of God's Word, and we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So I guess by definition, I'm a preacher. Second, my wife tells me there are times when I will just rapid fire scriptures at you and not give you time to turn there. I don't expect you to turn to everything that every passage I mentioned today. I encourage you, jot them down, write them down. Study them in your own personal time in the Word. Make sure I'm speaking God's Word, not Roy's. Because Roy's don't matter, God's does. With all of that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to share your Word this morning, Father God. I thank you for this faithful congregation and how they serve you in so many ways. But Lord, I ask this morning that you take this broken vessel that is me and allow me to pour your word out today. That your message may be proclaimed, that the hearts and minds may receive the message that you have prepared for them. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity and I turn it all over to you in Jesus' holy and heavenly name. Amen. Now, as I was praying through what message to bring this morning, several things came to mind. The mission team, they just got back from serving at Alban Community Church, and some of the folks on that team, they may have gotten just a little bit outside their comfort zone. Well, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, Philip got outside his comfort zone, and when he did that, he was able to lead a full-on Gentile to Christ and baptize him. That'd be a good one. Pastor Larry, you just got done with a series on the I ams and the I wills of Jesus. Maybe we talk about verse 0. You know, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And if in the first verse God's already there, he was there before the beginning began. Well, maybe I'll keep those in my pocket for another time. But I do have a message for today, and I have titled this, We Built More Than a Building. Now, I know the mission team didn't build a building this time. But hang in there with me, okay? Because if all they did was go down to St. Albans and work on a building, they would have missed the greatest part of what God intended for them to do. You know, throughout Scripture, God uses ordinary people with willing hearts to accomplish extraordinary purposes. Whether it was Noah building an ark or Moses constructing the tabernacle, whether it was Solomon building the temple itself or Nehemiah rebuilding Jerusalem's wall, the construction project was never the ultimate goal. The structure itself always served a greater purpose, and that purpose was worship of our Lord and Savior, the testimony of His people, and the advancement of His kingdom, and the same is true today. The mission team that went down there wasn't there to simply repair a church building. The mission whether they knew it or not, was to strengthen a congregation so it could continue ministering to its community, proclaiming the gospel and encouraging fellow believers, to demonstrate the love of Christ through practical service. The mission, according to this church, according to the bulletin, is love God, love others, serve both. And that's what this mission trip did, and that's why I titled this message the way I did. Now, if you have your Bible with you or your phone app or whatever you use, please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. And as you're turning there, here's just a little context for you. Nehemiah, he's a minor prophet, not because he is any less important than any of the others, but it's because his writing is short. It's only 13 chapters, about 406 verses. Depending on the translation, you're reading about 8,500 words. It's the 16th book in your Bible, right between Ezra and Esther. But chronologically, if you look at the timeline, it's the 36th of 39 books in the Old Testament between Ezra and Esther. Or correction, Esther and Haggai. And if you're there, let's look specifically at verse 6. So we built a wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half of its height, for the people had a mind to work. And our first point this morning is this: they served with their hands. The mission team did much, much more than that, but they served with their hands as they repaired damage to Alban Community Church after a supply line to a toilet ruptured and flooded the entire building. Back on March 15th, I was made aware of this fact, and I knew that the mission team had been there last year, so I got a hold of Pastor Larry, and I shared this information so Open Door could be praying for the church. Little did I know, you guys were already discussing a return trip this year to continue what you had started. If you dig into Nehemiah, what you would find is the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed for nearly 140 years. And those broken down walls, they represented shame, vulnerability, discouragement. And God calls Nehemiah to lead people in destroying what had, or restoring what had been destroyed. His story is not simply rebuilding a wall, it's about rebuilding a people. And I can tell you from conversations I had with Pastor Nathan down at Alban Community Church after the flood, he was vulnerable. He was very discouraged. What you may not know is less than a month before that flood, somebody decided that they needed the copper from the AC units more than the church needed working air conditioners. And they destroyed 3 air conditioning units. The insurance company covered it, but they treated each one as an independent and individual claim. So the church had to come up with 3 deductibles, and these aren't small deductibles either. And then the flood, a significant event in the church. Another claim, another deductible. You want to talk about discouragement and vulnerability in Pastor Nathan and that entire congregation. An Open Door comes alongside of them. And I see 3 things in them coming alongside of them. I see a willing people. Nobody forced any of you to go and to help. Folks left their comfortable homes because they believed that God's work matters more than their own comfort. That's what a mission trip looks like. People volunteer. Folks in this room used their vacation time so they could go and serve. They were willing to pay their own expenses if necessary. Some donated items for the ride for the son. Some donated items to the feeding team so the team could be nourished and hydrated. All of us prayed for this trip. Why? Because we believe that serving Christ is worth the sacrifice. And God has always done his greatest work through willing people. I also saw a unified people. In Nehemiah, the wall wasn't built by one master builder. Everybody had a section to work on. Everybody had a job. Some carried stones. Some mixed up mortar. Some guarded against attack while others worked. Others encouraged those who were weary and tired. Every single person there mattered. Kind of sounds like the mission team, doesn't it, Matt? Not everybody swings a hammer. Some cook. Some organize. Some pray. Some give financially. Some encourage others. Some clean up when we're done. Hopefully everybody helps unload the trailer. And remarkably, that's what the church should be like. Some teach. Some preach. Some help in the kitchen. Others are on the tech team, the praise band. Others serve as greeters or ushers or tellers. I can honestly say I know for a fact that there is a place for each and every member of the family of God to serve our Lord and Savior inside these walls, but more importantly, outside of them as well. You just have to be willing. And then that whole body can be unified. You see, the reason work succeeds is because God's people work together. The other thing I saw, and I hope that all of you saw it as well, is a people that were purposeful. As I mentioned earlier, the mission statement of Open Door Baptist Church is love God, love others, serve both. If you get an email from me, you'll see in my signature block, serving Christ by serving others. That's the mission statement. And what a mission statement is that it says what your mission is, and sometimes it's what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. My mission is to serve Christ. I do that by serving others. Open Door, your mission is to love God and love others, and you do that by serving both. You see, there was nothing sacred about the wall Nehemiah was rebuilding. The purpose behind that wall is what made it sacred. The rebuilt wall protected God's people. It restored Jerusalem as a place where worship could flourish. Likewise, every nail driven, every board replaced, every wall painted, every repair that was completed in St. Albans served a greater purpose. The mission team wasn't simply fixing a building. No, they were restoring a place where people gather together to worship the Lord, to hear His word, and to grow in Christ. A place where children will hear about Jesus, where families will worship together, where disciples will be made, the gospel will continue to be proclaimed. Y'all's hands were engaged in physical work. But your hearts were participating in kingdom work. And because of that, you strengthened a ministry. And that's our second point this morning. Flip over, if you would, with me to Ephesians chapter 2. As you're turning there, this letter was written by Paul about 60 or 61 AD. He's writing it to the church at Ephesus. These particular believers are some of Paul's best friends. If you recall, he was there about 3 years, and when he departed, the elders of the church wept. There's a love between them there.
In chapter 2, Paul writes, starting with verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Notice how Paul moves the focus of this small section of Scripture from buildings to people. He's using the analogies of a building, but it's about people. Why? Well, because the church isn't bricks and lumber. This building is not the church, folks. We are the church. Colossians 1:24, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Some of you may have been told you got rocks in your head. But the last time I looked, we're not made out of bricks and lumber. Ephesians 5:25 through 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Did you notice that? "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Christ didn't die on Calvary's cross for this building. He died on it for my sins, for our sins. That passage continues. "He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish." The New Testament, as you're reading through it, the word church is never used to describe a physical building. The original word in Greek is ekklesia, and it translates literally to an assembly or a gathering of people called out for a specific purpose. In ancient Greece, the ekklesia was generally the formal assembly of citizens in a democratic city-state that gathered together to vote on legislation and discuss political matters. Early Christians adopted this term to describe their local congregation as well as the universal body of believers, highlighting the fact and the concept of being called out. As I was studying for this message, I came across an article that was posted in Church Life, and it says this, quote, "The word we commonly translate as church in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia, and it refers to a group of people who are called, kalo, out, ek. In classical Greek, it was used to describe a group of people called out from a particular place or places as a distinct body. It was a political term typically referencing such a body gathering for political purposes. The New Testament, however, appropriates this term and uses it to refer to the new expression of the people of God, and it's a perfect fit. Jesus is not building a building. He's not sanctifying a physical location. He's building his ecclesia, his called out followers, people who are no longer conforming to the image of the world, but are being conformed to the image of Christ. They are called out of the world to look like Christ, to demonstrate Christ, to declare Christ. Again, I say the church is not this building. It is us, God's called people.
This building is simply where we meet, where we gather. It is simply a tool for ministry. Every church building exists to support the mission, not to replace it. The sanctuary is where people come to worship through song, through the study of God's Word. The classrooms are places where children hear Bible stories for the first time. Others come to dig deeper into God's Word, where disciples are made. The fellowship hall, a place where we can gather and break bread, and we all like that, right? But more importantly, as we're breaking bread, we're together and relationships grow. The parking lot, where first-time guests come into our loving arms. You know, every room that was repaired last week becomes one more opportunity for ministry. Building can't save anybody, but it can create an environment where people encounter the Savior and they come to know Him. One of the beautiful things about the mission trip is y'all weren't just repairing a building. You were investing in another congregation. A couple of years ago, a wise man said, it seems like a lot of churches are in competition. We're not in competition, we're in partnership. Our goal is to lead people to the kingdom, and if this helps this pastor do that, then we've accomplished our goal. Did you catch that? We're not in competition, we're in partnership. Church, that is exactly what that mission trip was about. And yes, Pastor Larry, I called you wise. Alban Community Church is not our rival. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are reaching a people that we may never meet. They're discipling families we may never know. They're a shining light of Christ in a community where God has placed them. If they become stronger, the kingdom becomes stronger. If they reach more people with the gospel, we celebrate. If they grow spiritually, we rejoice. And when all this happens, the church becomes healthy. And healthy churches reach communities. I hope you understand that one of the greatest blessings of serving another church is knowing that what you did extends far beyond this past week. Think about this. Years from now, there will be children meeting in Sunday school rooms. There's going to be teenagers gathering for Bible studies. There's going to be families gathering together. There's going to be people baptized. There's going to be lives transformed. Long after you've forgotten all the projects you did and the paint colors that you used, God's still going to be using that church to reach its community. That's why this mission trip and everyone you've gone on before and all those you haven't even thought about scheduling yet, that's why they matter. And if you think about it, Jesus often met the physical needs of people before he addressed the spiritual ones. He fed hungry people, healed broken bodies, touched lepers, restored sight. Meeting people's practical needs opens doors for eternal conversations. I think about Southern Baptist Disaster Relief, bringing help, hope, and healing to those in crisis. Meeting disaster survivors' physical needs in order to share the eternal hope we have in Jesus Christ. Sometimes God's got to
saturate the ground before we can plant the seed. But we get to go and provide a physical help. Currently, to those in Lewis and in Upshur counties from the flood, physical help to those in Pleasant County where three tornadoes touched down the same day. And just like a person, when a church is strengthened physically, they're often spiritually strengthened as well. And that brings me to my final point this morning. And that is, I hope that each of you that were on the mission trip have returned with renewed hearts. I know with disaster relief, every time I go on a deployment, I'm going to go bless somebody. I come back more blessed than I could ever imagine. I may have been a blessing to somebody, but I've been blessed beyond measure. You may have gone and served Alban Community Church and be a blessing to them. But folks, God was shaping you. Maybe it reminded you there's joy in giving. Maybe it reminded you that we got a whole lot to be thankful for. I wasn't physically with you last week, but it reminds me that God's kingdom is so much larger than our congregation here at Open Door. I mentioned Philip getting outside of his comfort zone in the very beginning of the message, and you may have experienced that this week on the mission trip. But see, when we step outside our comfort zone, that's often when God stretches our faith and grows us. But I got to caution you. Jesus didn't call you to be missionaries 1 week out of a year. No. He calls us to live on mission every single day. The willingness God used in St. Albans is the same willingness He needs right here. The servant's heart demonstrated there, our neighbors need right here. The same compassion we showed there, our community needs here. And Open Door, you do that so well, and I encourage you to continue that. Because you see, our mission field is always the same place. One step in front of us. The minute you step out of the pew you're sitting in, you are on mission. You see, God is still building. The construction that the mission team did may be finished, but the work of Christ is not. God is still building His church one person at a time. He's still restoring broken lives. He's still strengthening believers. He's still calling people to Himself. And guess what? He still chooses to use ordinary people just like us, just like me, and just like you. In closing, Nehemiah didn't simply rebuild walls. No, he restored hope. Paul reminds us that Christ is building something even greater, a people becoming His dwelling place. This past week, our mission team repaired a building. They fixed broken things. But more importantly, by God's grace, they encouraged fellow believers. They strengthened another congregation, demonstrating the love of Christ and investing in a ministry that will continue long after you guys got home yesterday. Eventually, that building's going to need other repairs. The paint's going to fade. The roof's going to need to be fixed, maybe even replaced. There's going to be more work to do there. But every soul that is reached because that building houses a church, that's reaching its community, that has eternal significance. People might ask you, what did you accomplish on your mission trip? And I pray that your answer is never so simple or short as, we went and fixed a church. The answer truly is you did a whole lot more than that. You helped strengthen a church so it can continue to reach its community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now that you're home, I hope the greatest thing that you brought back wasn't sore muscles or dirty boots or even the great memories that I know were made on that trip. Hopefully, it's a renewed reminder that God still uses ordinary people with willing hearts to accomplish extraordinary kingdom work. You built more than a building. You invested in God's kingdom. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life. You're listening to me up here talking about fixing up buildings and everything, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, I got a lot of fixing up to do myself before I come to Jesus. I hate to tell you, folks, you can never clean up or fix up yourself enough to stand before God and be anything but condemned to hell. But Jesus, perfect in our Heavenly Father's sight, wants you as part of His family. He wants to be your representative in front of that judgment seat. He wants you to accept His grace. The Bible says if you'll repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ, by His grace you will be saved. We can't do it on our own, folks. If that's you this morning, I encourage you to please come. Don't wait for the music to start. Come now. Maybe you did that years ago, and you just simply haven't been walking with Jesus. Well, guess what? You can never run or walk so far away from God that it will ever take more than just one step to come back to Him. I am living proof of that, folks. Just come. Come back to Him. Or maybe there's something weighing on your heart, something that you just want to lay at the foot of the cross. These steps are always available as your personal altar. Just come. If you have questions, I know Pastor Larry, even I would be happy to talk with you. Just come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. Father, I thank You for the mission team, not for the physical work they've done, but that is a blessing, but Father, for the eternal work that they've done. But Lord, I pray that if there be one here today that know not You, that today be the day that restoration in their life begins through their acceptance of You as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross for my sins. Father, I thank You for this loving and faithful congregation and how they serve You. And I beg, Father, that if there's one here that know not You, today be the day that he come to know You. That they come forward and surrender themselves to You. And I ask all this in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Simply come.
Please stand. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.